Blog Talk Radio.
Again, folks, it's hard to believe this is our 80th weekly broadcast of the EAL radio show. And, of course, EAL stands for Eastern Airlines. All of your hosts welcome you to tonight's show, and let me introduce them to you right now. Neil and Margaret, how are things down there in Punta Vedra, Florida?
Well, Jim, here on Florida's First Coast, we're experiencing showers and more showers, compliments of Isaac. And our weather stations are forecasting rain, believe it or not, for the remainder of the week. But on the positive side, the pollen count is low, and there have been no reports of mosquito activity.
The Second Coast, I guess that's on the West Coast, isn't it? We're Florida's First Coast. But the Second Coast over in the Tampa area, I guess, like most of Florida, we're under rain. But I'll never complain again. I want to build the ark again here. But everything is fine here in St. Augustine, Jacksonville area. And come see us sometimes. Jim?
Well, going down the coast to Delray Beach, Florida, we have Jan Bushkai. Hi, Jan. Got anything... that the Chamber of Commerce might want you to say about Delray Beach?
Well, of course, we have the typical tropical storm that's going up the coastline, and we had lots of showers. But the most awesome thing that we have, Delray Beach, the village by the sea, offers is its awesome sunrises. I often go and photograph the sunrises. It's so uplifting. You will find people seeking the ideal shells for home decoration or searching for valuables. There's a gentleman who said his wife even bought him equipment to search for some valuables as a gift. He searches for gold while she jogs. Smart lady. The saltwater air is so fresh and healthy, and watching the sunrise over the soft waves is so relaxing. It is truly a beautiful world here in Delray Beach.
Thanks for that report, Jan. How about Chuck Albright over in the central part of Florida? You know, Chuck is in an area where they have about 85,000 senior citizens in what they call the villages. How they're treating you there, Chuck?
We're doing just fine. We're part of the great flood that's coming through. And consequently, we have the same outlook for the week, showers and more showers. Our 85,000 people are not very happy that they can't get out on their 50 golf courses and drive their golf carts around. But we'll get over it, and it'll be sunny. And we'll be out there happily playing on our little bubble area that we have here in the middle of the state. Anytime you want to come and join us, let me know, and I can send you some discs that'll tell you all about the villages. How are we doing there, Jim?
Okay, Chuck. Thanks for the report. You know, I often wondered if some of those golf carts have pontoons on them at this time of year. Now let's move up to Roaring Gap, North Carolina, and Captain Steve Thompson. Steve, what's happening in the Blue Ridge Mountains beside maybe a little moonshining?
Hi, Jim. I want to introduce you to my new girlfriend who was acquired last Thursday, and she'll be with us on every one of the future broadcasts. She has some pretty unique talents. She is a combination defibrillator and a pacemaker. So she is doing her job so very well right now, and I want you all to say hello to her.
Hello. Is it?
Hello.
Hello.
Don't get him too excited.
Yeah, she is getting excited right now, so I guess we better just move on.
Is her name Defib?
Or Fibber?
No, her name is Cardi.
All right, hey, Bill. Bill, wow. Out there in the Midwest, does someone bring you online right now?
Don't worry, Jim. I'm out here in the Grand Valley listening to every word. We had 88 degrees today for our high. You know it's dry, no humidity. We're looking at the last week of summer, and we'll be in the 90s to 93, 95 through the end of the week. But then it's fall. We can hardly wait. Nicest time of the year out here. Now we'd like to move over to our newest member of the cast, Millie Peary. Hola, Millie.
Hola, damas y caballeros, and to all the hosts. I am so happy to be with you tonight again. I'm here in Coral Gables, not too far from where, once again, the New Eastern will be headquartered. I'm so excited about the prospects of this happening again real soon. I'll be the first one in line, and everybody stand back, please, with my application for whatever, wherever, and whenever they want me. Back to you, Jim.
Thanks, Millie. I'm here in New England, on the island of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, where we have a regular seasonal influx of tourists. And this is Jim Hart. We're so glad that you tuned in for tonight's broadcast. Of course, I have to finish my cherry stones on the half shell just a little bit sooner than I had expected. And, of course, I made a little martini before I came on the broadcast. So if I sound sometimes a little bit weak, it's because of the strength of my martini.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Listen, the next time you say something like that, I'm going to have you actually crack the shell of that lobster and rattle the ice in that glass.
Well, wait a minute. Can you hear it?
Okay, we can hear that now.
Okay, thanks for the verification.
Okay, this week's show, your host will bring you another true story from the Eastern Files. So many true stories from our Eastern folks to keep you entertained week to week. We hope you have one to send us for our broadcast. Just go online to the website, www.ealradioshow.com, and use the, in brackets, contact us page. Please include your contact info so we can call you if we have any questions about your material. Our call-in numbers are 213-816-1611, and the toll-free number is 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. 213-816-1611 and 877-572-1861. Now, let's take a station break and listen to an Eastern Airlines commercial. Bill?
Before I put that on, Jim, I just want to say there's another method of talking with us over the internet radio, and that is a chat feature that we have. I'm looking at it now, and we've got our little board about half full. And that leads me to say also that you'll be happy to know that we have an average now of about 1,400 listeners every show. So we're really happy about that, excited, the fact that we have over 50 countries now listening in. And so a lot of folks are listening. However, they are also showing up on our chat board here. So if anyone wants to include a comment or ask a question of your host, please do so, because I'm working that side of the panel, and we've got Eric Otero, our Monday night producer at home, and he's also sharing the duties tonight. So I'm learning a lot of stuff about what we can do on Blog Talk Radio. Now let's listen to an Eastern commercial.
Let's take a plane, laugh at snowstorms and rain to Miami where life is so tame. You fly from frost to flowers in just 8 hours when you travel east in scrape silver fleas. You make the clouds a byway when you take heaven's highway. In a moment, your fondest dreams complete. Fly from frost to flowers in just 8 hours when you travel on the great silver
fleas. Folks, I wish you could see in person Luann over here doing her thing. She was almost doing the Charleston to that, Bill.
Well, Neil, tonight is an open mic night. What that means is that we would like our listeners, one and all, to join us tonight, discuss anything they want about their time and their experiences with Eastern Airlines. All we ask is that you listeners hit number one on your phone to join us at any time. Speak directly to the hosts or just call in and share with us. We'd be glad to hear you. Neil?
Okay, the first thing on our list and the first thing I want to talk about, and please, folks, if you have seen the DVD, actually, it's the recording, video recording of Weird or What, which is a William Shatner.
Yeah.
Boy, it's what's been in my glass here.
Too much ice.
Yeah, William Shatner did a video, and it's been shown now on Discovery Channel, and we have put it on our radio show website. And I think we've had now about 70 or 80 viewings of Weird or What. Had good feedback on it. People telling me I'm fat and I'm old. That I agree with. No problem there. And but it was fun to do. And I've listened to it about probably most of those 80 times that it's been viewed. It's probably been by me. But it was fun doing it, and I think the Weird or What, have any of you guys seen that, host?
No.
No, I haven't.
None?
I have.
No one?
Yes,
Millie?
I have. Millie has.
Millie? Okay, I want a review now. Give us a review. Honest, I can take it.
You were wonderful.
Oh, come on.
I think you should have been William Shatner.
We do look a lot alike, don't we?
It was interesting. I don't know. I think the cockpit was playing a joke on me. I was on an aircraft, one of the L-1011s, and I was working the galley when the light started flickering, and of course I called really quick to the senior and the cockpit, and they said nothing was happening. I checked the galley, nothing, and I did get a call back from the captain that said that on that airplane there was the parts of the aircraft that actually had crashed, and I kind of didn't know what to do, dismiss it, just go on with my duties downstairs, but there was some flickering downstairs, and that is no kidding. So I do believe everything that was going on back in that time on that aircraft with those flight attendants and those passengers too.
Well, you know, I had some feedback via email, and folks are telling me of their experiences now. You know, I begged folks before we did that recording to come out of the closet or come out and say, yeah, I saw, you know, a ghost on the aircraft 318, especially aircraft 318. And gee whiz, I didn't get but about 10 replies from flight attendants, mechanics, and so forth that actually had an experience related to apparitions. Is that the proper word for it, apparitions? On that aircraft. And so now people are saying, yeah, I saw also some visions or whatever. And so I think it was a pretty good show. There was some more to the DVD that was sent to me, and we cut that out because it was I guess, designed for an hour show. And so ours was the first segment with all of the commercials removed. So it did a pretty good flow through it. So all you have to do is go to EALRadioshow.com, and there on the top of the page, if you're a member of the radio show, then you can click on videos and you'll see Weird or What. So try to view it tonight if you would. It's a lot of fun. Any other questions about Weird or What?
I can tell you, Neil, of an experience, and you all have heard me make the statement many times that I am here because of divine intervention and guardian angels. But when I was in college, I would average maybe 4 hours sleep at night. So I was coming home. I lived in the mountains, and I was driving home along a straightaway. It was about a 5 mile straightaway in between two mountainous roads. And I get to the end of the straightaway, and there is a lady standing in the middle of the road in a long white dress that goes all the way to the road, and she's waving her arms at me to stop. And I applied the brakes to keep from hitting her, and I woke up. And I stopped the car, and I get out of the car and look around for the lady in white. And, of course, she isn't there. But had she not been there, then I would have gone off the side of the road on this mountain road. That happened to me twice, 2 weeks apart.
My goodness. Yeah.
I wouldn't travel the road.
Chuck says you stay off the road, right, Chuck?
That's interesting.
The Weird or What sequence was fun to record, and just seeing what actually was cut out, because I did about a one-half-hour interview with them. And, of course, they get the material they want to use of that one-half-hour and edit out the stuff that they don't want to use. And I think it flowed pretty good on the show. So I recommend that you see it and give me your feedback if you don't mind. We do have a website membership fee now for those folks joining our Eastern EAL radio show. We do have a $10 fee, and folks are starting to sign up, and so hopefully people will start to come on board and listen to all the things that we have available on the website, which is quite a bit. We have over 40 pages of material, not material, but viewing and reading, lots of videos. Golly, I guess we probably have about 60 or 70 videos that relate, most of them relate to Eastern Airlines, but there are some great videos. And by the way, Jim Hart, I want to thank you very much for sending that Flying America video to me.
Wasn't that something?
It was great. Did you send that to all the radio hosts?
Yes, I did, as best I could, right.
Well, it was really great. And,
it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and if any of you did not receive that, Jim, maybe you can send it out to him. I've sent it to my family because it's a wonderful video. It's
yes, it is.
Beautiful scenery, and it's about flying. And but we do have other pages. We have the business cards. I'm surprised that we don't get more folks sending us their business cards. Maybe everyone except me is retired. And Jan, you sent your business card to me. I've got it there. And
I did.
So a few of us work, right, Jan?
That's absolutely correct, and I do thank you. And, in fact, I got a call from somebody that looked at that business card. So
great.
I find it was very useful.
Very. Don't forget now, I'm a licensed real estate agent also, so I get 10% of your referral fee there.
Boy, I knew that was coming.
Method of his madness.
Yeah, you should try to work with him in the office.
So we have a page for testimonials, which we do have some good thoughts that people have kindly express themselves, and we put it on the website. We have Eastern Aircraft. I'm up to about 10 airplanes on there now, and I intend to put every airplane that was ever in the Eastern fleet, whether it was a feeder or whether it was, you know, the early airplanes that we flew with the Eastern Air Transport. We have a page of radio hosts, so if you want to see what Margaret looks like or what Jim Hart or Bill Joseph or Steve looks like, then just go to the website and click on radio host, and you'll see a little bio and a picture of those, with the exception of Chuck. Chuck, I can't get a bio out of him for some reason or other. I got his ugly picture.
It's there. I'm trying to send it to you. I can't. With my new computer, I can't figure out how to send it to you.
I thought it was because you're in the witness protection program, Chuck.
Good.
By the way, I want you guys to know that about 95% of the people here in the villages, we all have business cards.
Oh.
It tells them we live in the villages.
Okay.
Great.
We have another page. Excuse me. Lou Ann or Margaret? Which one?
Well, Captain Neal, it's Lou Ann, and I want to tell you, I will be putting my bio on there, and I also will be putting my picture on there as well. So
okay.
Thank you for
okay. Freckles and all, huh?
Well, now we want to leave a little something to the imagination of her. Hey.
Are you going to be wearing your Daisy Dukes?
That'll cost you. That's extra.
Hey, Neal.
Okay, I'll pay the money.
Neal.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Bob Furman here.
Hey, Bob. Good to hear you
join
us.
I got to go. My wonderful granddaughter's staying with our in-laws, and I'm going to go over and tuck her in. So,
well, say hello to everyone and tell us what's on your mind if you can.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you that Tack Marshall story real quick.
Go ahead.
Well, when I got hired by Eastern in April of 73, I did my interviewing. We took the tests. I did all good with that stuff. And then I went to the personnel gentleman and did all that stuff. And he sent me up to see the chief pilot. And I walked in. It was Captain Tack Marshall. And, of course, the first time I ever met him. And I said, he asked me to sit down. And I'm just so proud to be there. I can't tell you, people. This is like the dream come true, everything I was looking for all my life. And I just wanted to make sure the interview was going to go right and thinking everything I was going to need to say and kind of being a little nervous. And what a gentleman. And he's sitting there and he's looking over my test scores that I just took and he's reading the notes that the interviewer had said about me. And then he looks up at me and I'm kind of getting a little nervous. Says, you know, that's a nice looking suit you got on. I'm going to look forward to flying with you. And that's the only thing he said to me.
That's
in other words, I got hired. I had a really nice suit I bought. I mean, I looked like a banker or something. And he said, that's a great look. I'm going to look for it. Well, anyhow, I got hired in 73. So I get out on the line. And wouldn't you know it, somewhere as we're all passing through and say hello to each other, he's coming down the hall. And I reminded him of that he interviewed me. But he's sitting there talking, standing there in a concourse, and he has his hat on with this unbelievably neat tilt. He's got the grommet out, and the hat's just sitting side, only about five, or not real hard, but 5 or 6 degrees, or, you know, just off to the side, one side. So for the rest of my career, and all the time I flew for Airborne Express after Eastern, I wore my captain's hat with a Tack Marshall tilt. Just so cool.
That is a good story, yeah.
But anyhow, I'm going to go see little Mia. She's a doll. She'll be 4 in about a month, and she's just – so Grandpa's got to get over there. God bless you all, you guys. I look forward to seeing you next week if I'm around.
Great.
Good to hear from you, Bob.
All right, buddy.
We'll see you guys. Bye.
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 We do have letters that have been sent to us, and we're posting those letters on another page on our website. It's called the Letter Page. And so we're putting those up. We do have a music and podcast. By the way, the gentleman that you just heard, Bob Furman, he did the song Sunshine that we played a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And we're going to post that on the page that's called Music and Podcasts. so you'll be able to listen to that to music. And listeners, if you do have a recording that you'd like to, as long as it's a good recording in good taste, send it to us, and we'll post it there on the website. And we have the newsletter online, so we try to keep things updated by posting timely things on the newsletter, so you can click on the newsletter. So we have a lot of pages, over 40 pages on the website, and it really keeps you current. Most of the organizations, as good as they are, most of us have to wait, and I do because I'll read every page of RIPA, the Repartee magazine that comes out from the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. My wife reads it before me, and I've heard that most wives do get it before the husbands and read every page and then turn it over to the pilots. And I do the same with that, and the EARA newspaper, I read every bit of it. But we have a website here that keeps us attuned to things that have happened recently. Like yesterday, we try to post things that are of interest, and we try to keep the memorial page current with those folks that tell us who passed away, so we post it there. We also have Jim Hart and Chuck and I, and we want some other hosts that are with us on this show to join us on the Airline Radio Talk Show. It's only a half-hour program, but boy, does it go fast, and we kind of have fun. It's scripted, and we usually have an airline each week that we do. This past week we did, or yesterday we did, the story and history of the Flying Tiger Lines. You recall Flying Tigers?
Yes.
Freight airlines, yeah. We used to see those in Atlanta and Los Angeles and New York and Chicago. And as a matter of fact, they at one time were the world's largest freight carrier and had more routes than Pan American at one time. So it's interesting, and we try to keep those to a different show, a different airline every time we have a show. Any questions on anything that I've just blabbered? I want to shut up and listen to other people talk. So you guys have got the microphone.
Neil, this is Jim. I wonder if many of our members realize that we have a number of chapters within the Eastern Airlines Retirees Association. I think it's 28 chapters now all across the United States. And I would like, if with your permission, to give you an idea of the programs that we have within our chapters. I'd like to relate a program that I had in our West Palm Beach chapter. Your permission, okay?
You got it.
Okay. Our meeting, this had to go on April 19th, was at the Pegasus Restaurant, our usual restaurant in Lake Worth, Florida. And it was attended by 18 members. Because of this limited time, the under-sheriff, Michael Gauger, was called upon for his talk, while our business meeting was held until after his talk. He told us that at this time the sheriff's office consisted of 1,600 deputies, and their annual budget was $464 million, second only in manpower and budget to the whole state of California, which spends over $4.2 billion a year on law enforcement. He mentioned that our Palm Beach County is larger than the entire state of Rhode Island, just to give you an idea of the geographical size of the area covered by his office. It is a known fact that the county sheriff's office can effectively patrol and secure a municipality at a far lower cost than the municipality itself. For this reason, many municipalities have turned over the police work for their towns to the county sheriff, which accounts for the large size of his office. This can be a touchy subject because all local policemen or policewomen must pass a thorough review before being accepted by the sheriff's office. Some of those people don't make it, especially if their record has some questionable demerits within it. He mentioned that they have their own mounted police and medical staff. They're totally self-sufficient in criminal investigations. He mentioned the drug trafficking problems, and the drug use seems to change from time to time, and the drug overdoses are still a problem. There are cases where a young person will overdose, and his friends will take him to his home and dump his body on the front doorstep where his family finds him in the morning. They're also actively involved using undercover policemen to spot the unlawful use of food stamps and unlawful acceptance of county financial aid. They find persons living together and drawing thousands of dollars in county financial aid when these persons told officials that they were living alone. The amount of financial aid given to these persons is in the millions of dollars, and his department is charged with learning who is receiving aid illegally. Mr. Gauger kept us on the edge of our seats as he graphically explained the operation of his department. He is a fellow Rotarian with me, has been a friend of mine for 15 years. We thanked Undersheriff Chief Deputy Gauger for being with us. Then we began our meeting with a salute to the flag. Beverly Newland, our founder, began collecting for our 50-50 drawing, and Sue Dalbo, our treasurer, told us that the treasurer was getting a little bit thin. I mentioned that upon looking at our roster, I see a number of persons who still owe us for a 1 or 2 years' dues of $10. I was going to be sending a letter to these people, which I did. The remainder of the meeting consisted of chatting with each other and catching up on local happenings. The meeting concluded at about 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Such a nice get-together, keeping in touch. That's what it is. Thank you, Neil.
Yeah. Jim, I think Palm Beach County, it must be bigger than Martha's Vineyard, isn't it?
Oh, probably 100 times larger, yes.
Any other news?
The village is bigger than Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. We have a couple of guests. Frank, are you on the line? Frank Davis, are you there? Let's see. Area code 321. Who do we have at area code 321? Okay. We're going to make a call to Captain Jerry Frost, and he can update us on the website that the Retired Eastern Pilots Association has up for the memorial plaques that have been placed in the Atlanta terminal. Eric, if you can make the call, I guess I can make the call. But we want to talk also about the conventions. REPA convention has a convention date in November in Hilton Head. And then Frank Davis has some information that he wants to share with us, if we can get him on the line about next year. Okay, press 1. Frank, are you with us?
I'm with you, Neil. I told you I'd stay high, so here we are.
Okay, well, can you share some information about the convention that is being planned now for next year?
Well, basically, just to reiterate what we have said over the past couple of weeks is that we have chosen the Rosen Center on the International Drive area near SeaWorld for the host hotel. We have approximately 600 rooms at the present time that is blocked for our all-hands reunion in September 2013. Those dates are September 20th, 21st, and 22nd. What our plans are is to have a cocktail party, hors d'oeuvres, cocktails and hors d'oeuvres on Friday evening in the ballroom there at the hotel. Then on Saturday night, we're planning on having in the convention center itself, because the numbers are getting so large that that's the only place that can accommodate us. The third thing is that has been brought to my attention, and I would really like to ask somebody out here in Radio Land or whatever to step forward to maybe chair or putting together a tournament, as well as it's been brought to my attention, a tennis tournament. Maybe those could be done on Sunday, maybe one on Saturday, morning, Saturday afternoon, the other one on Sunday, however you all want to coincide it. I'm sorry, but I just do not have time to take those two projects on. At the present time, I'm trying to take a break at my summer home in the mountains of Upper East Tennessee. It's just so hot in Florida that last week I made the decision to, or before that, that I left a week ago today to head to my home here. And I'm staying here until the 1st of November and trying to do everything by telephone, fax, and internet.
Good man.
Yeah, thank you much. I appreciate it. The heat in Florida just really got to me this year. It really got to me. But it's a situation that we are moving forward. We're going to have packages for people who are local that will not be staying overnight in the hotels. We're going to have a two-night, three-day package that will have hotel, cocktail party, dinner included. We're going to have a four-day, three-night package with cocktail party, dinner included in that. Of course, your room and board will be, your room will be included in those packages. Airfare is going to be optional. As I pointed out, we have contract rates with American and Delta for a 5% discount on domestic and international travel. Am I still with you?
You are still with us.
I've gotten a ring somehow in my
phone.
That's
me. I'm trying to be a producer here, and I'm calling someone, and it's ringing. So real amateur.
Well,
but we're having fun,
anyway,
aren't we?
Yeah, really. And what we're trying to do is to make this as economically feasible for everybody. The website, I talked to my co-chairman over the weekend, John Roos, and he has told me that he was hoping to have the website up by late this week or the first of next. And I put on Facebook, and I've been saying this all along, it will be approximately the 1st of September before we get this website up. There's a lot to putting this together. You know, the thing about it that I brought this subject up, not here on the air, but in private conversations. We would encourage everybody to make their initial deposit of whenever the website is up, that you can make your initial deposit of, say, $100. Myself, I know I should come second, but Mr. Roos and myself have committed for over $1 million in signatures in order to put this reunion on with the Rosen Hotels and the Orange County Convention Center. I know that it was said on Facebook over the weekend that I'm not going to go fully out on a line, that it's my understanding that there has become there's going to be a corporate sponsor that is going to sponsor the DC-7. Minimally $150,000 a year, if not more, and any more that we can get, that's all well and good. I had a conversation with Roger Jarman today about that. He was ecstatic. Something I want to share with everybody is that we all know that Neil Holland does a fantastic job with this radio show. For every person that is a registrant, there's going to be a small fee. I'm not sure whether we designated $1 or whether it's $2, that for every registrant of the convention, there will be a donation included in that registration fee that will be donated to the EAL talk show to help keep it on the air.
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Nice. Nice.
All right.
So now, remember, guys, now you guys that want to play golf, you can book through the Rosen Shingle Creek Golf and Spa Resort, or Spa and Golf Resort, I don't know how it is. But anyway, you can book through there, let them know that you're with the Eastern Airlines retirees on those particular dates that I've told you, September 20th through the 22nd, 23rd, and you will have a special 18-hole rate of $49 plus tax.
Wow.
Now, the tennis, now if you all want to get your tournament together, maybe somebody within your circle of people, and then you can come back. We'll be glad to put this up onto the website and try to link it to the to the Rose and Shingle Creek Golf Club, where the reservations, there's so much trying to be tied into this thing, it's taking a lot. We're hoping to have the DC-7 in Orlando. I had a conversation this afternoon with the Director of Public Affairs at OIA, or the MCO, however you want to put it, the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority, and she told us that being that the aircraft is a 501c3 operation, that they will waive landing fees to have the aircraft brought in. Roger is just thrilled to death about bringing the airplane to Orlando for this event, and we're hoping if the new Eastern Airlines is flying, then we'll have an A320 and a DC-7 nose-to-nose on the West Ramp at OIA.
Wow.
So, gentlemen, there is a lot of footwork that's going into this, trying to plan everything to satisfy everybody, and chose the hotel that we chose because it was the only venue that had enough rooms and overflow that we could take. Every other large venue in Orlando for this particular weekend, their rooms were booked or their hotels were booked. So we took what we get, and I feel that we got the best that there is. And included in your packet is going to be what they call an iDrive trolley pass that you can use a second of 24 hours to travel up and down from hotel to hotel, wherever you want to stay, or to go sightseeing, go SeaWorld, Universal, Wet n' Wild, shopping, whatever. But those will be included as well in the package.
Boy, this sounds exciting. It really does. The scope of something like this really requires a lot of planning, and you guys are doing it right. You're starting a year in advance, and there are so many things that I'm sure, Frank, is going to come to your attention and John's attention that will help this be a very successful convention. I guess that's what we're calling it. But it's just exciting just to think that that many Eastern people will be in the lobby or in meeting rooms and so forth, and sitting in the lobby just talking to each other. That's the thing that really excites me, because anytime I go to a convention, especially the REPA conventions, like I said, we're having the next one at Hilton Head. It's so much fun to sit there in the lobby and just talk about the old days. And I wish I had a recorder to all the conventions that I went to and talked to some of the folks that are not around anymore. They passed on. So this is exciting, Frank. It really is.
Well, the thing about it, and something I really would like to ask everybody out here that's listening to the talk show, and I don't have one of these anymore. I used to have my fair share. But if anybody has gotten some Eastern Airlines tote bags, remember the tote bags that we could put an overnight shaving kit in and, throw over our shoulder type of thing? Well, you look in there and check the tag and see who the manufacturers of those are. We would like to try to buy those as the bags to give every registrant with your T-shirt in it, with your iDrive trolley tickets in it, with other little freebies and stuff that we're going to give out. Those are what we would like to have as a commemorative bag for everybody to take home. And I'm not doing a very good job in finding them on the Internet.
Well,
so
hey, Frank, go for no
yeah.
further. I think I've got a bunch of them for you. So I'll send you a copy of our sample of the ones that have been sent to me from some of our members, and so see if you can use these. There's a lot of this.
Well, that's fine, but if I need 2,000 or whether I'm going to need 5,000, it's going to take more than what you have. But I need to find out who is the U.S. distributor or who is the manufacturer of these. Go back to and see what kind of price that we can get, on these. And I also pointed out just a moment ago that it is our plans to have in those bags a T-shirt for every registrant as well. And that's going to be a little lock in the registration. What size T-shirt do you wear? You're going to be rather simple. It's only going to have the Eastern logo on the left breast, probably an ash shirt or a white shirt, and it will say EAL Reunion 2013.
Very good. Host, do you have any questions for Frank?
Maybe I missed it, but how much is the package going to cost?
You know, we have not got the actual packages for a three-day, two-night package per registrant. It will include your registration packet, your hotel room, your cocktail party on Friday night, dinner on Saturday night, the T-shirt, I Drive Trolley. We're trying to keep it in the it's right in the neighborhood of $335, $350 for a 3-day, 2-night package.
That's very reasonable.
Yes, it is.
Not bad at all.
Now, if you go online and you check out the hotel rooms, first of all, it's running about $100 a night for hotel plus 12.5% tax. And then the dinner and nobody's making any money off of this. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, Frank, what are you doing with your life now that you're retired? I says, well, I've taken on a full-time job for the next 13 months that is non-pay. I said, I'm working about 60 hours a week on this. And I said, there's no pay, but I'm so pleased about being able to bring this forth to my fellow employees and the family of Eastern Airlines. And John Roots is working just as hard as I am, and I have to give him credit because he has stepped in, and honest to God, people, I wouldn't know what I'd do without him because he's taken on all of this airline stuff, and he's putting up his IATA and his ARC surety bonds to help secure these hotel rooms at this time and the convention center, and I don't know how I would have done it because I'm like a lot of people. I'm not financially independent.
Well, it sounds really great, Frank, and you're going to keep us updated by coming on the show and telling us where we are or where you are, and also asking for volunteers. Don't be afraid to ask now, and I'm sure a lot of folks out there would love to help you guys out, especially at the rates that you guys are paying. So...
well, the thing about it, I'd like to have three things right now, or three people that would do something. One, who would put together a golf tournament. Second of all, who would put together a tennis tournament. And third of all, who would like to take the time to go and write every airline that serves the borders of the United States and ask them, would they be willing to, or would they donate, say, two space available tickets to wherever they fly, or maybe and go send off to the various hotels and the rental cars, see what we can get. Would we not have a hell of a lot of door prizes to be able to give to everybody?
That's great. Okay, very good. Thanks so much for calling.
Neil, one last thing. Let me reiterate this. The date is Orlando, Rosen Center, September 20th. 21st, 23rd, 2013, website that will be used for booking. It's up, but it just says under construction, which it is, www.fly-eastern.com. And the email to us is EAL for Eastern Airlines Reunion, R-E-U-N-I-O-N, 2013@gmail.com.
Very good. We'll put that on the website also, Frank, for you.
Thank you much, Neil. I really look forward to seeing everybody in 13 months. I hope that we can bring forth a great program. Our guest speaker is going to be Mr. Ed Weigel of the New Eastern Airlines, and then I'm going to have a couple other shorter speakers, but if anybody has anything that they would like to contribute or suggest that we do for this or that program, please don't hesitate to send us an email at EALReunion2013@gmail. Tell us what your interests are. Try to incorporate as much as we possibly can.
And, Frank, we'll have our radio show there, too, if you've got a little space for us.
Oh, that's right. You're going to bring the radio talk show, and we're going to do it live from the reunion on Saturday afternoon. And also remember the memorabilia room. If you have something you want to bring, make sure that you bring it. It's going to be there. And the National Commercial Aviation Museum is bringing a simulator that can be that's flyable, programmed to what other airplanes. But I told Grant Scott, or Wayne Scott with the NCAM, is that he'll be there for 6 months with all the pilots that want to fly the thing.
Okay, very good. Hey, listen, thanks so much, Frank. I've got another caller on the line. Jerry Frost, I think, is with us now. If Eric has been able to call him. And Jerry, are you there?
Oh, sure am, Neil. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I was having a problem trying to dial you, and I'm very sorry to get you in so late, but we've been listening about the great news that Frank Davis is bringing us about our convention in 2013. And keep in mind now when you talk to the folks at the Retired Eastern Pilots Association that the dates don't conflict with the date that the convention or the reunion will be in Orlando. I hope we can separate the two conventions dates, but of course that's up to the directors of the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. But go ahead.
We've been having our conventions in November, so there shouldn't be a conflict. And I believe Silver Falcons has their convention in August. We just came back from Savannah.
Okay, very good. So September shouldn't be a conflicting month then for the conventions. That's great. Jerry, I'd like for you to talk a little bit about the website that you have now and the plates that are the tablets, or not tablets, but the plaques that have been installed in the Atlanta airport. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure, and we're very excited about the new website. As you know, last December we had the the opening of the new plaques out at the airport. Before, as you know, that those plaques were reserved for deceased pilots in tribute to them. And then we decided, because we were running out of room, that we should add everybody, all of the pilots that flew for Eastern. And so a whole year went by. We tried to accumulate as many names as we could with the limited resources we had. And so we feel that with those 6,700 and I believe 44 names, we have a good representation of all of the pilots that flew for Eastern dating back to 1928. Now, with the plaques at Hartsfield, of course, we that live in the Atlanta area, we're fortunate. We can go out there and look at them. But for all of you that are in different states or places around the world that do not have access to the plates, we started a website recently, and it's www.easternpilots.com. And we have now, with my wife and I, we went out to the airport recently, and with the use of a apparatus called a GigaPan, we were able to capture the entire wall, actually about 14 feet wide by about 4.5 feet high, which that display consumes on the wall. We were able to take 266 photographs that were stitched together so that anybody going to the website and clicking on the little picture of the display will be taken to gigapan.com, and from there they can use their mouse and with their scroll wheel or other navigational devices they may have on their keyboard or their iPads or whatever. You can scroll in to any name on those two plaques so that you can read them very legible. And so Now we can present the plaque, the two plaques, to the entire world of the Eastern pilots. And I think that that's really the excitement, because we can now share it with so many people.
Jerry, this is Steve Thompson.
Hi, Steve.
Do you have the ability to make corrections in this in this, these wall plaques?
Good point, Steve. I'm glad you brought that up. I just received a call from a pilot, I believe out in Texas. He went to the website, and unfortunately he saw his name, but his two initials were in error. And as you know, these plates are a quarter inch thick. Each plate weighs in excess of 200 pounds each. We cannot modify those plates. However, we're spending the next year accumulating missing names, of which we do have several, and we know we'll be accumulating more, and we know we'll have some misspellings. And we are going to have a third plaque etched. We already have the frame for it, and we will, when we feel comfortable that we've exhausted all avenues of collecting names and correcting any misspellings, we will have that third plaque displayed with the two plaques that are there now. And
okay, my daughter worked for Eastern. She started in the fall of 1985, and her name is not on there. So
if you will, email me, and I will certainly add it to my list, and be assured that she will be prominently displayed on that third plaque. And
okay.
As you know,
thank you.
We had limited resources. We had limited seniority lists to go by. We didn't have the funds to have the data entry people enter, you know, many multi-thousands of names of duplicate seniority lists,
mm-hmm.
so we could capture everybody. So now that the plaque is displayed on, or the display mm-hmm. is on the website, people can now go in and look, and if they see any missing names, please let me know. I can be reached. My email address is very simple, Ealer, for Eastern Airliner, E-A-L-E-R, at Comcast.net. And if you will email me, I will be glad to research the seniority list that we do have, and we will get those names up on that third plaque. And we are taking our time doing it, because obviously that will be our final effort.
Thank you.
Very good. Thanks so much, Jerry, for sharing that with us. And we have just a few minutes left, but we do have it so that we can go over our allotted time of 1 hour. And I wanted to address a couple of things here, or just talk about a couple of things. First of all, Howard Mucci, who has been one of our hosts and our senior host, I guess, at 90 years old, I guess he has earned that seniority among our hosts, has been sick this past week, and he came very close to not being with us. However, he was rushed over to the Mayo Clinic here in Jacksonville. We have a beautiful campus of the Mayo Clinic, and they were able to help him out, and he is home now. So we're
great.
Real happy about that, and hope to hear his voice. We hope to maybe get another skit going that we can use his investment money to finance something else. But Howard sends all of you his regards, and he did have a go at it, but of course the Mayo Clinic being a wonderful facility, and they saved my life back in 1996, so I'm glad to be talking with you now. We also have another death that happened last week, and that was the death of Neil Armstrong, our real hero in space. Does anyone have any connection with Neil Armstrong? Has anyone had him on a flight with them?
No.
Has anyone ever met him? I just throw that out. Has anyone care to talk about Neil?
On Howard Mucci, Neil, he was on the line with us a few minutes ago. Did you hear him?
No, I didn't hear him. Maybe
yes, he was on the line.
Okay, I apparently wasn't paying any attention, but I usually have Thursdays with Howard, and Thursday morning he and I go to Panera Bread and we talk about mostly politics, and everyone in Panera hears our conversation, and we intend it to be that way. So, but wonderful guy, and hope he's going to be with us for quite a while.
Sure.
But Neil Armstrong was an outstanding. I had the pleasure of seeing him, hearing him at an astronaut seminar that was held in Pensacola of the seven original astronauts. That was when I was living in Pensacola. And wow, what an impression these guys really make on you when you actually see them sitting there, you know, at just a short distance away at a table, and questions from the audience being asked, and their little talk about what they contributed to NASA. But Neil Armstrong contributed quite a bit. When you stop to think of a vehicle going to the face of the moon, landing, and the fact that any little thing that might have happened, they would still be there. But I don't think I would have had that. I'm a colorful pilot. I'm all yellow. But he accomplished quite a bit, and he was a very reserved individual. I've mentioned Jim Hart's Flying America. But, Millie, let me ask you a question. Millie, are you still with us?
I certainly am.
What would you do if someone came aboard or aborted your flight and had some profane language on a T-shirt and raggedly dressed? Would you mention that to the captain or to the gate agent and think about having that person taken off the airplane? What would you do?
Well, the first thing I would do actually would be take off my jacket if I had a jacket and told them to put them on. And obviously, everybody else as a passenger would probably back me up. So today and day, the passengers are really helpful. They do make a comment, and they do help out crew members. I would actually take it to the senior or the purser, make a comment on that, along with make a comment to the captain also. Actually get everybody involved into it. And from there, I would actually let person in authority to make that kind of decision. But at that point, I would actually make a comment to that person and just say, hey, you know what, here's my jacket. Why don't you put it on for the rest of the flight? And that kind of that gives them an idea that it's not appropriate to be using this on the aircraft. So it's very disrespectful for other people.
Millie, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I knew I had a good answer coming, and that was an excellent answer. I think
Neil?
Very, yeah, go ahead.
This is Bill.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is living out here near Denver, but it seems like every day we read about an airplane being diverted to Denver because of the inappropriate actions of the passengers. And I can recall many years ago getting involved in a situation on the airplane and literally threatening another passenger if he didn't calm down. Those things happened a long time ago, but it seems like they're happening with a great deal of regularity today.
They sure are. I was saying before the show that when I flew the Moonlight Special, the A300 that left Atlanta, went to Houston, got there at midnight, and Consolidated Freight Lines we contracted with, and we had they had the cargo compartments of the airplane, and we had the passengers that we charged $49 anywhere between Houston and Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and I saw several of passengers laying on the floor with no shirt and dungarees and spaced out. And, of course, I would tell the gate agent, this one doesn't go with us on this trip. And so I did that a few times, and because it was kind of like a cattle car on that Moonlight Special of those people. I think they were Greyhound bus rejects that we were getting on our Moonlight flights. You guys recall that Moonlight deal that Eastern flew, I'm sure.
But, yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, they're doing that now. As a matter of fact, I brought that up because in the news yesterday and today, some of the pilots are not allowing folks that are improperly dressed and to be on the airplane. And, you know, gone are the days when we used to dress as passengers. We dressed up for the occasion because it was an occasion. We were going
Neil,
to see maybe, yeah, Jan.
Neil, at that point in time, you could actually tell the difference between passengers and those that were flying as pass riders.
Right, right.
Because as pass riders, I know I used to wear a suit and heels, and my husband would have to wear a tie and a jacket. That was the way it was. But I did want to point out one thing. When I was flying offline out of Miami into London, and it was the first time I had seen this, where a gentleman was at a bulkhead seat, actually took off his flip-flops, put his feet on the bulkhead, and had a T-shirt on with profanity on it, which, I mean, I was shocked and totally embarrassed when he walked out in London with his T-shirt on. I mean, it was disgraceful. But that's, you know, nothing was ever said to the person. And I was shocked.
Yeah.
I'm sure you all remember, too, that the dress code also applied to children that were accompanying the parents at that time.
Hey, Bill, my kids hated it. Every time I'd say, okay, guys, you got to put a little coat on and a shirt and a tie on my son. And my daughter had to wear a very proper dress. And they didn't like it at all when they could see all the other kids dressed the way they were. But
told my kids it was a small price to pay for what they were getting.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, but profanity on a T-shirt is not only the extent. I've actually commercialed from one point to another where I work from, and I've noticed that there's a lot of people who want to make a statement. And at one point in Los Angeles International Airport, I saw a woman with, I guess she was some kind of celebrity, I'm not sure, but she was actually accompanied by a younger man, and she was dressed very risque. I mean, she had a very low-cut top, and you can basically almost see all her anatomy. And what happens is she was waiting in line to go through security and checkpoint. And she had, and I noticed, she had every single person that were TSA fixed on what she had and how this man reacted with her. And that was a security breach right there, to see all this distraction going on. So, yeah, I believe that there should be some kind of a dress code implemented, because that even involves safety. At that point, it was amazing that I just kept an eye on this, on the TSA people, and they were fixed on this woman. So to me, that's my life and the life of everyone else, that if they, you know, something goes through, this something could happen just because of a dress code. And yes, they should implement an address code where actually a person is trying to get from point A to point B, and that's what's really important. Not the way they want to make actually a statement to everyone. So with that, yes, they should. And again, like I said, it's security related. So
yeah, Margaret.
Yes, Neil. I just wanted to mention, I was reading an article earlier today. And critics were complaining, so to speak, that airlines are actually being inconsistent with these dress codes. So some are, you know, putting dress codes into effect, some are not. And also, too, we have to remember that Generation X and Y is completely different than baby boomers. And they're so exposed to this on TV. And I don't mean to be implying that something political here, but there is a lot of TV. There's a lot of disrespect. And here's something that a corporate lawyer, her name was Leanne Epperson, and she'd just come back from Tokyo. And I think this says pretty much how a lot of people feel today. And her quote was this: well, if people are paying the price for their tickets, they should be able to wear what they want to wear. And that's a corporate lawyer saying that, you know. So we don't have a standardized dress code, which I think we should.
Very good. Jan, I'm going to let you have the last word, or you and Jim have the last word, because we're over our time now. And before we sign off, it's been fun making or having this conversation with you guys, and especially with our guest. I would like to pass on this information. My wife gets a newspaper from Burnsville, North Carolina. That's at the base of Mount Mitchell, the highest point east of the Mississippi, and that's her home county. And she gets a letter or an obituary in the newspaper that a fellow named Paul Collins, a Burnsville resident since 1997, died Sunday morning at his home. Now, what's so interesting about this obituary is the fact that he was 88 years old when he passed away, but he joined the Air Corps on his 18th birthday to serve in World War II. And it goes on to tell about his studies. He studied at the Oxford University in England. His majors were in mathematics. He attended the University of Miami, received dual graduate degrees in mechanical and electrical engineering, and he had more than 30-year career at IBM in field engineering. Now, what does that have to do with Eastern Airlines? Well, it was Mr. Collins that designed and put in motion the reservation system for Eastern Airlines.
Wow.
So I think that's interesting. He was a person with IBM that actually designed all of the information that our reservation system, which was the, I guess, the jewel of all reservation systems. It was the premier reservation system in the industry at the time. So we owe Paul Collins that he deserves to be recognized at least on this show because of the fact of what he had helped Eastern accomplish. Jan, will you take us off the air here? I'm running out of words here. Go ahead.
Certainly, Neil. Well, folks, that's about all the time we have for our show tonight. We hope you have enjoyed our program and radio talk tonight. We hope the new Eastern employees of the new Eastern Airlines will start fresh memories about their days with Eastern, from their training days to the on-the-job experiences, to tell their kids and grandchildren, and to share with future employees. If we look back at our careers with Eastern, there are stories that are etched in our memories that are just waiting to be told. We would like to hear about them. They need to be told. The memory of Eastern Airlines will never fade away if we can keep the love we have had over 85 years burning in our memories and hearts. And we would like to remind you of the book in progress being written about the stories from the men and women of Eastern. Send any material you would like to be considered for the book to host@EALRadioshow.com. We'll get right back with you about your story. Jim, that's about all the time we have left. How about taking this broadcast to the archives as I hear the sign-off music in the background?
Certainly, Jan. Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time and same station. tune in to www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we have to earn our wings every day. Maybe in the not-too-distant future, we will use a commercial with the theme, We Are Back Home. And we hope you are in your home every Monday evening, same time, same station, at the EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when flight number 81 departs the gate. We'll see you on board next week. And from all the gang here at our studios and remote locations, we all say good night,
Eastern
family.
Good night, Eastern family.
And good night to you too, Luann. We know where you are.
Good night, Jim.
See you next week.
I'll be there.